You're listening to Front Porch Theology, a podcast of New Heights Church. We laugh, we argue, we carry on. So welcome to our front porch. Have a seat and let's get into it.
Welcome to the Front Porch Theology Podcast. I'm Heather, your host.
And I'm Jeremy.
And I'm here with my pastor, Jeremy.
Hey, welcome, good to Jeremy. Be back. Yes.
I know, it's been a little bit.
I'm excited. You know what? I don't have to be here. I get to be here. Okay.
I didn't know if y'all were really recording.
Are you ready now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
This is Will Basham.
Oh, you didn't know we were recording today?
All right, we can start over if you want.
Please. Welcome to the Front Porch Theology Podcast. I am Heather, your host.
Say that better.
Oh my gosh, what?
I'm sorry.
Excuse
Do you think
me?
You're in a place where you can start making demands of me?
Preach it. Heather, I thought you said just great.
Today we're talking. No, I'm kidding. Welcome back, pastors. It's been a hot minute since y'all have been on here. Put your glasses back on so I can see you.
What do you mean? You mean so I can see you?
No, the other way around.
Okay. I'm good.
Welcome back, pastor. You've been gone touring the country.
I haven't been gone. I've been right here.
We're not in Dallas.
I was in a podcast. I don't know for the listeners' world.
I wanted to.
I'm saying
of the time. When they're released, I don't know when they're released, but like I recorded one like 2 weeks ago, and then I was available to record one last week, but you weren't.
I'm sorry.
You
forced yourself into our last podcast that you were on. Yeah, so don't say you were on.
That was
on
the
it.
One you guys said you didn't want me.
You told me last week we weren't doing it because it's Holy Week and we can't do nothing on Holy Week.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because it's Holy Week.
Yeah.
I never said that.
Yeah. It's in the group text.
All right.
There's lots of things in there.
Guys, anyway. Thank you. This is the French Sports Theology Podcast.
Sorry, to our listeners. Okay. We are finishing up the series that we've done. I don't know if we even called it a series. I don't know what it was, frankly.
No one knew it was going to be a series until you decided to make it a series.
Well, you know, I've just been trying to force myself to read this book.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't love... I actually love the topic of spiritual disciplines. I love to learn about them.
Yeah.
But this is a really thick book, and mm-hmm. I've been trying to work my way through it. So
this is a book by Donald Whitney that I was recently on a podcast discussing. And we were talking about Bible intake.
Yeah, it's true.
I remember that one.
So I've been working my way through it. And so we're going to wrap up today. We didn't do all of them just because we've done episodes in the past few years on them and stuff like that. So today we're going to wrap up, though, with talking about stewardship. And I think this topic is really important. One, stewardship can mean many different things. We steward our time, we steward our money, we steward our possessions that we have. So I want to make sure, even our wisdom, like the things that we know, like that all plays into some sort of category. So I want to talk about what stewardship is, why it's important for us as Christians to steward well in all the things that we do. So go ahead.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Get to it.
I just think of money.
Money? That's what you think about?
Yeah, that's where we need to go first. You wanna talk about stewardship and honoring the Lord with your stuff? Give him cash. That's
okay.
That's how we money talks in today's world.
Mm. Yeah. I've read a few Facebook topics about how money talks in certain places. So
yeah.
You want to talk about those,
No, I was just getting at the society we live in doesn't really operate on like a bartering system.
That's true.
So like, I think in the agricultural system of like what most of the context of the Bible's in, you see a lot of like tithes given of like the first fruits of a crop, for example, and food was given to the Levitical priesthood and the provision of the poor and things like that. But it was like actual tangible like food, from mm-hmm. agricultural standpoint. And most of us aren't farmers. I know you are, but most of us aren't. And so. Kind of a way more standard way of us to kind of take the principles of the Bible and sacrifice and in generosity is to do that financially. And so providing for the ministry of the church, providing for the poor, providing for the Lord's work, all that is having to do with stewardship and really acknowledging that God has given us everything that we have in our possession and understanding that he is allowing us to be a part of his mission when we leverage it to carry out his mission. So,
hey, Will.
What?
Got a question.
Okay.
Just came in from Andrew. He says, what if a farmer who comes to your church doesn't make a lot of money, if he gave, instead of 10% of his money, if he gave 10% of his crops to be distributed through the church for people who had needs, would you be okay with that?
Yeah.
Can I talk on this too?
Yeah.
I would tell that, I would tell Andrew to tell that farmer not to just be dropping stuff off at the door because it goes bad.
Yeah, that's true.
And they mold.
Yeah.
And then it goes in a closet in this back room in here.
Uh huh. That's true.
And then it has to be thrown away and disposed of later on.
You can only utilize resources where there's a need for those resources.
That's true.
If there's no need, like we people try to donate stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And I really think sometimes. Sometimes they really mean well, and sometimes they just want to get rid of their stuff.
Oh, my favorite was lingerie.
Stop.
You remember that?
I'll never forget that.
Stop, really?
I swear.
The foster closet,
yes. Wasn't it?
Oh,
people donated bags of clothes to our foster kids' clothing closet, meant to go to children in the state's custody.
Jeez.
And my wife's like going through these trash bags full of stuff that's been donated, and it's like it's mixed in. It's like there are some children's clothes in there, but it's mixed in with like crap from their house that they threw in. They just wanted to get rid of.
Yeah.
And some of it was lingerie, like sexy little get-ups. And I was like, why would we donate this? That it was clearly just like stuffed into a bag. You know?
So do you think people mean well by doing stuff like that? Do you think they think
not bad?
Well, obviously, but yeah. I mean, do you think they think, hey, if we can't use this, we'll drop this off at the church? I mean, I think they mean well.
I think
I think they do. I think they're also just being lazy.
I think people feel bad about throwing stuff away.
Yeah,
I love throwing stuff away personally.
To a degree,
I love cleaning out stuff and just throwing stuff away.
Yeah.
But I think some people feel guilty about throwing anything away, and they don't want to, and they feel like it's like wasteful.
Yeah.
And so they convince themselves that it will be used. If someone wants my used socks, and I'm gonna give it to this homeless shelter, and it's actually just like it gets thrown away. That's the end result.
It's an inconvenience for the
There are times where I would agree with some people. Like, he has a throwaway problem. Sometimes he wants to throw away too much.
Yeah.
But I also get it.
I would admit that, yeah, I do.
But I get it, because the more I think you're around the church, the more you see the weird amount of junk you accumulate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just crazy amount of stuff. It's wild. Even in the Valley, like, we weren't there terribly long, 2 years. And, like, the amount of stuff we accumulated that people dropped off.
Yeah.
Let alone like at the school. Remember when we emptied out the elementary school, the pre-K, and the amount of stuff that was in the back?
Because people would just bring it and leave it and be like, I want to donate this to the church. And it's like, you just don't know what to do with it.
It was absolutely wild how much random stuff that like no church would ever need.
Yeah.
But we had it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've talked a lot. I mean, honestly, what you just said could talk about how we steward our money. It could also talk about how we steward our possessions well also.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
just to echo what he's saying, that like there is something finding a need, and if you can fill that need with something that you have that you are willing to part ways with, that's one thing. I think that a lot of times people will, instead of taking going to the dump, they'll take it to the church and will say, okay, that is my tithe, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think that's not okay. I think some people go, hey, I gave my time, so now I don't have to give money. And I don't think that's okay.
Yeah, it's a cop out of what the Bible calls us to, which is intentional sacrifice.
And this is what you're saying was, in we live in today where we're cash speaks, right?
Yeah.
So it's like we're not paid in vegetables, we're not paid in those type of things, we're paid in money. And so to if we're going to be biblical about it, that's what we're going to sacrifice. And when we try to find little worm our ways out of sacrificing that thing, well, that thing becomes what we actually worship. And I think that's what we see.
That's good.
And there's a lot of charlatans that exist, you know, that claim to be in the church. I think they're just wolves that make their whole ministries about getting money from people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you got those guys that are on TV that are flying private jets around, and you know, you got guys like that, and that are, you know, teaching a prosperity gospel.
I had to buy that jet.
Tyler Perry made that jet so cheap, I had to buy it.
I had to buy it.
That's what Kenneth Copeland said about his private jet. Let me make clear.
With his demon eyes.
There is no jet so cheap that you have to buy it.
That's correct.
That doesn't exist.
So, okay, so I think you have charlatans. Also, I wouldn't call them charlatans. I would say it's a bad ministry model. And we've experienced this too, where people aren't loyal to those who the Lord's given them to shepherd, that they're looking for there's like a ladder, right? Like, I want to find the next big church. Mm-hmm. We will keep it nameless, but we were told if we could just get along, like, we could get promoted. We could move up and get a bigger church one day.
Yeah.
If we just were nicer to our people.
Yeah.
So that was such a gross mindset, right? And so
you were told that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you were there, right? I mean, I'm not making this up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's like, yeah.
It sounds like this. I'm just like pleading the fifth.
You don't remember this?
Okay, no.
Okay.
I just need more context.
Well, I'll tell you three afterwards. It was right after a letter was written.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I wrote.
Yeah.
That you signed.
Yeah. Okay. I do remember.
Okay. And yes. If it was like, if you all could just be nicer and not say these things.
Right. Yeah.
You all could move up.
Yeah.
Get bigger churches.
Right. Yes.
So
yeah, he's referring to like a denominational church climb,
right?
In the denominational world, if you're a pastor, it's like I'll pastor the small church
until the
bigger church sees my talent, and then I'll work for them, and then the bigger church sees my talent
there.
It's the Dwight Schrute thing.
It's like I value loyalty, and I'm loyal to whoever will pay me the most.
Right. Yeah.
I think sadly there's a pastoral that kind of crept into a lot of ministries where people will start looking for who can pay me the most, and I'll go there. Mm-hmm. Versus being like, you know what, this is where I'm called the pastor. I want to pastor these people. I want to be loyal to that. Not that there's anything wrong with moving on to a different church, but I think there is if it's focused around just money. I'm not a big fan of it.
Well, because then you're just working toward your goals of.
Man, I just think it's weird
of working your way up, right?
I don't. I mean, I might be able to try to give a biblical argument for it, but I think it's just a bad taste in my mouth from what I've seen, where I've seen some. I mean, I've known pastors who had to leave because they financially couldn't stay, and I see that as different versus someone who just saw a bigger paycheck and got excited. Yeah. I think it's the heart of the person, obviously.
Yeah,
but I think that culture is there, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think you have the charlatans, and I think you have a corporate culture and some denominational rings, and that has given people a bad taste when it comes to giving to churches.
Now let's swing the pendulum to the other end.
Oh, let's go.
So I grew up in a tradition that didn't emphasize giving, didn't talk about giving, for fear, I think, that if at church we talked about giving, it would seem like all we wanted was money.
Money. Yeah.
And so we didn't want that. And so we just didn't talk about the biblical expectation to give. And so I can remember going to seminary, and I was already an ordained pastor. I was ordained going to seminary, and I had never given money to the church ever. And I was confronted with that at the church I joined while I was while I was in seminary. And the pastor just talked to me about it, and I just had to kind of honestly answer, yeah, we've never really given. And I was like, well, I was a youth pastor. I'd like buy some pizzas for the kids. That was how I gave. You know, I know I was supposed to be generous. I was trying to be generous with those kids. And, you know, he started, you know, showing me how there's a biblical expectation to give regularly to your local church. And I'd never seen that before. Just never been taught that. I'd seen it because it's in Scripture. I just didn't want to see it. it. I ignored it. And so I avoided it. And I'm serious. I didn't get rich, but when I got like my financial affairs in order and in a right priority and gave to God my first fruits and my income and began to be serious about that, like my financial health for me and Amanda and our family got so much healthier.
It's funny, somewhat similar. I wasn't in seminary, but it was prior to that when Jill and I first got married. She grew up in a church or in a family where you gave, which is what you do. And she would say, hey, go get the checkbook before we went to church. And I would run and I would hide the checkbook so she couldn't find it. And I did that for probably a year and a half in our marriage. And I'd be like, and sometimes she would get it before me. I don't know if she knew or not. She knows now. But like I'd be like, we'll just give next week, and I was just like, hope that she like forgot. I didn't want to pray that she forgot because that seems a little, Lord, just like I knew I should have been doing, but I thought it was like I'm serving in nursery, like I'm real good in the nursery, and so like that's what I would justify it. And I remember her being like, we had conversations. She's like, no, it's what we are supposed to do. We are to give.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, but are we? So I wasn't. It's not like I was unaware or didn't hear about it. I just mm-hmm. didn't like it. It was my money.
Yeah, and it's if I could just be transparent, it's awkward to talk about as someone who gets paid by the church too. So because when I teach the Bible tells me and every Christian to be a part of a local church and to give to that ministry. And
devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Okay, in the history, 10 years we've been doing the podcast.
Oh, sorry, the devil needs Thank no you. Advocate,
Thank
Jeremy.
You,
sorry.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
That tells you how long he's been away.
I know, he's like, wait, do we say that? Do we say that?
What are you saying?
Yeah, me and Matt Chandler, we don't do that. All right, so where in the Bible does it say that you're called to give? Last thing, I don't remember Jesus ever teaching that.
The message don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 8 and 9, chapter 16 tells us to give as we may prosper. And so I think that indicates a percentage base even, that as you are making income, you pull a portion of it and give it to the church. Paul calls on several churches to support the ministry of mission work and church planting, and so they're collectively pulling their money together and paying for these things. Paul also writes to the local churches and tells them to pay their pastors, and he references the Old Testament law of not muzzling the ox and uses that as an analogy to show that those who are working in the church are to be paid wages for the time that they put into ministering mm-hmm. as pastors, shepherds of the flock. And so so all those expenses are, you know, Paul's building a case that we are to faithfully support the ministry through our own personal stewardship. And really, there's not really people that are exempt from that. So
yeah. I got after you do all you have to do, I have three big questions.
I'm going to allow you one. Because okay. The last time we were on the podcast together, let me say my piece.
Okay, say your piece.
The last time we were on here,
yeah,
you had a 5-minute spoken word.
It was good.
You turned listeners away.
Not that Starbucks worker. That's besides the point. It's about this topic. I'm not going off this topic.
I'll give you questions.
Deal.
So I want to. Do you have anything else to say about time, or sorry, about money, or giving of possessions?
No, I.
Before we jump in,
I was just going to add that it was 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, not 1 Corinthians 8 and 9.
Yeah, no, I was.
So I had
just,
that wrong, but there's two whole chapters that he writes to the Christians in Corinth about.
Hey, he's trying giving. To talk.
Go ahead,
Jeremy. I was just saying it's just a response to it's acknowledging that all things come from the Lord.
Yeah,
and that. Giving up, sacrificing. And if people saw, like, and you say this all the time, like, nobody wants to pay, like, the insurance on the building or the electric bill. Like, that doesn't seem real. That's not awesome, right?
People will give to send our kids to a youth conference.
Yeah.
Like crazy. But it's like, we got to pay for liability insurance as a church. So right. we can host events and have kids in our building. Yeah. No one wants to pay for the insurance.
No, and so you just have to kind of, you can't pick and choose, say, I want to pay for this and not, it's like, all right, the church, has to function. There's things that have to get done. And so just realizing this is for the Lord, this is an act of worship. And I think that helped me a lot because I kept saying the church has enough money when I was hiding the checkbook. That church has enough money. But that's irrelevant. That's not even – that. Who cares? And one, that probably wasn't even true. I spoke out of ignorance. I had no clue how much the money the church had. They still have the same chairs and carpet as they do 20-something years ago. So they probably don't. But the reality is that's not why you give or don't give is because they have enough or whatever. You give as just as an act of worship.
Yeah, that's good. So I want to kind of take a different direction. So at the beginning of the conversation, I said Tom. So let's talk about how Tom is something that we should steward and how we should steward it well.
Well, Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it is, says that we are to redeem our time. So to redeem means to be purchased. And so we're to kind of buy back the time from our wastefulness, our sinfulness, and we're to redeem that for the Lord's purpose and the Lord's glory. So there should be facets of our life where we are setting aside time intentionally for the Lord's work, for service in His church, for ministry, for outreach, things like that. The Bible has a lot to say about time. I mean, the Lord in creation gives us a rhythm for our own time, you know, that we're to Sabbath and rest. And so we should have a rhythm of work and rest to mirror our God. And then we redeem time that we could foolishly spend, you know, just like we spend money. We could spend time foolishly on things that don't benefit the Lord's cause.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we can't ever have fun or do something that's not spiritual. You know, it's not like we don't have hobbies or whatnot, but we do take time that we could foolishly spend and waste on other things, and we redeem it for the Lord's purpose.
I think not stewarding time well is something that is a big, big problem with our society right now, and even in the church, because a lot of times, I mean, we have phones that we have instant access to anything pretty much we want.
I don't.
We're not.
Cell towers are down right now. I can't Google stuff. I can't check my TikTok.
Okay. Jeremy, I'm glad you're poiled. Good Lord, what's wrong with me? Glad your pulled muscle is healed now.
It was such like I can't even check my TikTok. I like that.
The talkers are missing me. That's
tough. Especially in conversation about stewarding time.
I don't know.
It's
no, I mean, funny. I think it's something that we all struggle with.
I do ministry
with, like,
on TikTok.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I hope you do.
I'm working for the Lord on that platform.
Are you getting paid for it?
No,
people
sadly.
People pay you on there?
I should.
You get
I should
likes
be an influencer
to where you
by
get
now.
Likes.
Yeah. I think when it comes to this, I do think there's a lot of waste of time. There's times – I do think that there are areas where – let's take a board game, right, where we could guilt ourselves and say, I'm wasting time. I don't think that
– By the way, this episode is brought to you by Galactic Cruise.
Galactic Cruise! Going – to a planet near you.
All right, that took up half of your half question.
No, that wasn't the question.
No, it was. That was,
yeah, it was his fault.
You are not stewarding our time well. You are not stewarding my time well.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. I think if something brings, if it's, I think laughter is a healthy thing. I think, you know, depending on what you're laughing at, I guess, is, matters. But I think enjoying life. I think we get. Especially, I think Americans, like, we become slaves to our job. We become, yeah. And then we feel guilty for just enjoying things. So I think a good steward of time is just being able to enjoy life.
Absolutely.
Just like God created so much for your senses to just look at, listen to, taste, just enjoy, and to spend it obsessing over what happens in a cubicle is depressing. I think spending 70 hours of being busy at a job is not stewarding your time well. You can make a lot of money. That's not what
I think. There's a lot that plays into that too, like not having good boundaries, not having like a good sense of relationship with the people around you that God's put in your life. something that I have like, so I'm trying to be serious and you're over there laughing.
Go ahead. I'm proud of Will.
He's patting me on the back.
I'm just happy you're here.
Our listeners can't see you patting me on the back.
That wasn't meant for everybody.
He's been pastoring, and maybe a better word is lecturing me about boundaries.
I care about Will.
And time off.
Despite what some people think.
You know, I appreciate that, Jeremy.
Because, listen, as work friends are, you know, as we look at work friends, I've had a lot better work friends than Will. Yeah. But I've had more worse ones.
Yeah.
And if he leaves, I don't know which way that's going to go. Like, yeah. He's okay.
Yeah.
I'll say something, too. You know.
I am okay.
I recently restrained myself from making comments on a post that I saw on Facebook.
About me?
About you, yeah.
Yeah, I saw this post.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? I am thankful that we have a church where you get to, as the pastor, also be a member.
Oh yeah,
and have
absolutely.
Jeremy as a pastor, to where Jeremy can make you be accountable, not only for those things, but for everything else, the way that you both hold everybody else accountable for, because you all are shepherding us.
Yeah,
all.
Yeah, and he's mean about it too.
Well,
he sent me a text yesterday.
I appreciate that.
And he didn't respond back to me.
I was at a conference yesterday.
He was texting me.
I was out of town, which yeah, I right? do sometimes for my job. And, sometimes. And then Jeremy always like guilts me like I'm on these luxurious
trips. Now, listen, it's
trips.
A joke.
I went
it's
to
a joke.
Morgantown.
It's getting to him.
Is like the slum of West Virginia.
My pokes.
Whoa, you better slow down
dude,
right now.
We have sorry. Half our listeners sorry, are in Morgantown.
Sorry, Motown. But so I'm up there for this conference. All Acts 29 pastors got together. And he sends me a text. He doesn't even, like, say, how's your day going? It starts with, bro, take a day off. And he says, you're on track to have your worst year of all time. You have to take some days off.
I'm not wrong.
I appreciate that as a pastor.
And then when I saw it, I was leaving the conference. I didn't have cell service, so I didn't text him back because the storm knocked out all the cell towers. So then he thought he made me mad.
He didn't care. Because no, you know listen. What? He's a good pastor, and he's also a good
but
friend,
now I'm
even
miss,
though you don't
now
claim
I'm going to miss another podcast because he's making me take a week off. And then you're going to get on the podcast and be like, Will's not here. He's yeah. out fishing.
Probably. But that's okay.
Stewarding his time.
Here's the thing. I think how many pastors, because it's not there's not a time clock that you punch out. And I know that people, you know, they hear Will every week, and so the thought is I'm going to go straight to Will, yeah. right? That's the first person they think of, and so yeah, like there that idea of like, all right, I'm going to go to and you being able to walk away, and because if not, like my fear is again that how burnout can happen.
Absolutely, I mean that, like I appreciate the environment of our church, the leadership in our church, because you could take 10 churches and only see that maybe in one, where the head pastor is just like the dictator of the church and he's not held accountable by anyone.
Listen, if what will happen if Will ever has to leave this church, and it's me, you're gonna know it immediately from social media, because it'll be like my thumb and it'll be like a picture of me on Facebook. I won't even be trying to update Facebook, and somehow my
He's
face will end
be
up
in the
on
shower.
It.
Do you remember last time? It's like, yeah, coming listen, to you today.
Listen to it.
We're listening. We're listen. Yeah.
God help us.
Our last podcast guest talked about how you sent her a 4-hour debate on something that was completely.
Did she listen to it?
No. Why would you expect anybody to listen to that? That's unnecessary.
That's a good
story
of your time.
That's excessive. That's excessive.
All right. I don't think you should listen to it in one setting. I listen to it. I mean, if we're just going to be open and transparent, I like to listen to it when I'm on the Great White Throne.
My gosh. This
and
podcast.
The Great
didn't,
White
it
Throne.
It didn't stand a chance today. We never said
that's
chance
only
like
gluten, yeah. But this, or in the shower, or late at night if I'm doing dishes. That's when I listen to that stuff.
Okay, well, you know, Jeremy, that's something I actually appreciate about you. I think that you do steward your time well. I don't know what is wrong with me today. So not only as a pastor, I think you also do that really well as a dad. And I think you probably do that as well as a husband too. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I don't know.
She's stuck with me.
Stuck with me. But, you know, I think a lot of times we think about that, our time has to just be something that's like, when we talk about stewarding time, like it just has to be something done in the church. But you know, if we think about all the disciplines that we've talked about over the last few weeks, like all of these things have to do with growing our faith, growing spiritually, and we have to make time for all of them because there's not one of us that can grow our faith or our relationship with God by not doing spiritual disciplines. And that was something that one of the things I totally, Jeremy, thank you for correcting me.
Yeah.
I totally botched his name,
J.P.
Pecluda.
Pecluda, yeah. Love him. He is my favorite Pecluda.
I'm on a chapter right now called Busyness and Rest, and I wanted to read this paragraph if you guys don't mind.
Do you need him to put on music?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, nobody ever needs that again, okay? This is the lesson I keep learning in my life, too. When we discipline ourselves and devote ourselves to the things of God, our souls find rest and restoration in a way we never thought possible. When we get busy, we get self-reliant and self-dependent. And when we get self-dependent, the first thing we squeeze out is the spiritual disciplines. And here is his public opinion, his public service announcement for everyone. It says, we will not grow as followers of Jesus without them. It is never going to happen. I am here to tell you that you will not be the first person in the history of history to grow as a follower of Jesus without practicing discipline. It never occurred and it never will without you. And I love that because, well, you know, we were joking about we will be making fun of you whenever you take your week off.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's a part of that discipline that we first talked about, the silence and solitude. Like, I know, you know, anybody who knows you knows that that's something that you do that kind of is time with you and God. Like, that's a place where you find your silence and your solitude. And that's something that you enjoy doing.
What's a place where I find solitude?
Huh?
What are you talking about?
You fishing.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Great White Throne.
Oh, my God. Fishing. I'm about to just
fishing.
Walk out.
Okay,
fishing.
I got gotcha. You.
I didn't know you were talking about fishing.
You didn't even know I was talking. You're not even listening
no,
to
I'm
me,
listening.
Apparently.
I'm dialed in. I got you, Heather.
But, you know, anybody that knows you knows that that's something that, you know, you enjoy doing, and that's something that's important. Like, being able to make time, that's stewarding your time well, is making time to do the things you love. I get on to Baker all the time about doing stuff for himself, like things that are good for his mental health, things that are good for his physical health, emotional health.
Or not unneedingly adding things to his own plate.
Yes.
Like, things that no one else has asked him to
do. Don't get me started. No, I think it's good to have people who will hold you accountable for that. I mean, it's important because otherwise we don't steward our time well.
You know one thing I like
and
about
busyness
you,
is not good.
That I think is very gracious that you do. You've been using a lot less profanity on the podcast lately. You have been. I appreciate that.
I've never
that.
Used profanity
and,
on the
and that,
podcast.
That helps Baker's time. He doesn't have to go back through
also,
this and edit out.
You're drinking a lot less before the podcast.
Yeah. That's a grace to all
that
of
is,
us.
It is.
So we just wanted to say thank you.
Indeed. Hey, I got my question I want to ask real quick.
Okay.
You'll appreciate this one.
I'm done, so go right ahead. I'm not saying, after I say this last word, I'm not saying anything else for the rest of this episode. Go right ahead.
What is it? How do you feel about rich pastors? Can pastors be rich?
You asking Heather or me?
You. I want to know Heather's thoughts.
Heather's
too.
Not going to say anything. All right, can pastors be rich?
Can pastors be rich? How much money should a pastor make? You said
it's all relative. I mean, it. You said you weren't talking anymore. It's all extremely contextual. So I remember like hanging out with some vocational pastors who lived in Manhattan, and it came up about pay, and like we were talking about, you know, how the salaries were set at our churches and things. And I mean, it's just, you talk about a different world.
Sure.
People who live in Manhattan, just the economy of that versus Milton, West Virginia. So I think you have to look at like median income of your city, your town, what's expected, what's even so somewhat like trying to get a grasp of like the income of the people in your church and like what they can afford to support, and all those things are factors. But
wrap it up. Come on.
Well, okay. Here's what I'm trying to say. You could make six figures, or maybe a couple of six figures, you know, 200 grand a year, yeah, and live in Manhattan and not live wealthy at all.
Right.
But if you make that in Milton, West Virginia, you're going to live like a king. And so I'm just trying to say, I don't think you can put a number on it, but
it's based off where you live.
Yeah, but I don't think a pastor should be among the richest in his city.
Question number two.
You only got one.
I said, you said one and a half. You're going to like this. Has to do with what you talked about.
You get 1 minute.
Okay.
And then at the 1 minute, you unrecord. Baker has
unrecord.
Baker has plans. He has somewhere to be that's important.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
him and I are going.
Are not stewarding his time well.
He literally said, take your time. He told me that.
Yeah, because you just said it a while ago, and you're making me not steward his time now because I'm arguing with you.
I can't. Okay, here's my second question.
Okay.
Wheel. All right. If as individuals, if we're to steward our money well, what about the church doing its money? How does the church steward its money well? Is that another podcast?
To be continued.
Probably. On, I was trying to think of how I could concisely answer it. So I think a church corporately should model generosity to its members. And so I think a corporate church. So, like, when I say corporate, I mean all of us together. Mm-hmm. The whole church as a collective entity should model generosity by giving money away. So we support mission work. We support church planting. So, like, at our church, we give a tithe of our income away to mission causes.
So if you're asking people to tithe, the church to tithe?
Yes. Okay. Now, I don't have a Bible verse to prove that.
Yeah,
so I don't think I could condemn a church that doesn't do that. I just think it's healthy to model what you expect.
Yeah.
So model corporately what you expect individually is how I would describe it. And then, you know, other than that, you have to build your budget in a way that honors the Lord. And so I think you just have to step back, just like anything else in life. Does my time this week honor the Lord? Does this activity honor the Lord? Does my spending honor the Lord? And when you ask church budget, does my church budget honor the Lord? And John Calvin famously said...
Wait. We're going to pick it up next time. Heather, give the best closing of all time. And 3, 2, 1.
2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, submit them on the New Heights Church app. And we'll catch you next time. Watch for deer.